Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine. I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations, to comment on headlines from Europe. These are remaking papers late in the news cycle, but the threat is to Europe. Financial Times, Biden warns Russia is set to invade Ukraine within days. Subhead, U.S. President speaks as Kyiv and Moscow blame each other for shelling in eastern Donbass region. John, a very good evening to you. Your piece in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours identifies a geostrategic fact called an entente. What is an entente? And if Russia and China are now in an entente, does that grow their power? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it certainly does grow their power. An entente is something in between having good relations with another country and a full-up alliance. It's an old term. Example really was just before World War I. But I think it's important to understand that what's going on, because the idea that we can forget about Ukraine, for example, because China is the main threat, ignores the reality that the Russia-China entente enhances both their power. They are both bigger threats because of it.
The embrace of Vladimir Putin, figuratively speaking, at the opening rounds of the Beijing Olympics, was that a turning point in modern Eurasian history, John, that Russia is now linked to China?
Well, I think it is linked through this entente. And I think that one of the fine irony here is that Russia is the junior partner, unlike Cold War days when China was the junior partner. But China is obviously watching what Russia is doing in Ukraine very, very closely. And the way the United States is reacting is going to be figured into every Chinese calculation about what it does to Taiwan, what it does in the South China Sea or elsewhere along its periphery.
Your essay incorporates ideas that have come from both the Obama administration and now the Biden administration to reduce our commitment to this country in order to emphasize our commitment to China. Is that still ongoing, John? Was that part of the Afghanistan story, and is it successful?
Well, I think it was very much part of Afghanistan in Biden's mind. And I think the idea you don't need to worry so much about Europe, you don't need to worry so much about the Middle East. After all, terrorism is decreased and we're not going to need oil and gas much longer. We're going to have batteries in all our cars. Therefore, we should devote all our attention to China. It ignores the critical reality that while China's threat in the 21st century to America and the West is certainly existential, there are plenty of other threats, too. What we need to do is pay more attention to these threats and spend less time redistributing wealth within the United States.
I'm struck, John, that the idea of reducing attention to one region in order to have more resources for China is not simply the Democratic Party in power right now. You mentioned Senator Josh Hawley believed that Eastern Europe is not for us because we're turning away from Beijing. So it's a bipartisan misunderstanding. Do I read that correctly?
Yeah, yes, it is. And I think Donald Trump helped contribute to that. I think in a sense, it gives cover to actual isolationists who certainly don't want to pay attention to Europe or the Middle East. And they will soon find a way not to pay attention to China either. America is a world power. And if it takes more resources or more time and attention, we can find it. We have done it before. That's how we won World War II when we were attacked. We didn't say, oh, but our defense budget is so small, I guess we're going to lose the war. We did what it took to keep America safe.
You point to the Second War, the war between Japan and Germany and the Allies. That was an axis power, the Axis power. Was that also an entente, John? Is that illustrative of where we are?
Well, I'm afraid that's what we might see the Russia-China entente become. And that's why understanding this growing relationship is so important. I think we should take steps to try and split them. I've made this point to the Russians that they don't want to be junior partner to China. I have to say I didn't have any success with that. And it shows the danger of how fast Russia may be moving closer and closer to Beijing and more subordinate to it. So we've got to keep this in mind when we think of our strategy. It has to be global. It cannot be focused on only one country, no matter how severe the threat is. You've got to devote more attention to international affairs, which is government's principal responsibility to keep the country safe from external threats.
I have this sense, John, when you said external affairs, that we've been here before, haven't we? Isn't this a cycle American policy goes through? We are successful overseas, and then everybody comes home and forgets about what contributes to stability. Is that the bad patch we're in right now? We've turned away. You call it navel gazing. Another way is isolationism. Is that where we are, John?
Well, I'm afraid it is. I think people have completely misunderstood the nature of our interest around the world. And what makes it even sadder is that at least in the 19th century, people could say, well, we're protected by two broad oceans. In an age of ICBMs, and even more pertinent now, in an age of cyber warfare, that protection doesn't exist. So we either engage in protective alliances and forward defense, not out of charity, but to protect our own interests, or we will suffer the consequences.
Ukraine, we come to these back and forths between Washington, Brussels, Moscow, Berlin. It goes on and on and on. These last days, the administration has boldly, to my mind, made remarks about what Russia's going to do. There was that false flag, more than one false flag operation announced. And now there's war starts on, I think they initially meant sometime this week. Now, again, the president is saying in the next few days, I believe at one point they changed the language from imminent war to at any moment war. Is this a successful way of refuting Russia's intentions?
Well, I think it's a very risky way of doing this. What they're basing these statements on is our intelligence information about Russian capabilities that we can see. And there cannot be any doubt on the capabilities that we see that they can mount a substantial invasion of Ukraine, and it looks like they're pretty close to it. But what we do not have, and the administration itself admits this repeatedly by saying that Putin hasn't made a final decision, we don't have enough, in my judgment, about Putin's intentions. And understanding the threat is a combination of intentions and capabilities. And the risk that they're running by looking at the capabilities and saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, is the boy who cried wolf one too many times phenomenon. This is not about the size of the threat, but about the imminence of the threat. And if it proves wrong, if this stretches out, I think they've worsened an already serious credibility problem.
What are we learning about NATO from these exercises, these travels between Berlin and Moscow, Paris and Moscow?
Well, you know, whenever the Europeans feel threatened, they might find new admiration for NATO. But it goes to the very point of the question you asked a minute ago. When this crisis passes, will they stop spending adequately on defense again? I think it's worth trying to build on what we've learned here and to strengthen NATO. But I also have to say, Putin's strategic objective certainly involves weakening NATO, finding the splits and the fissures and expanding them with Germany, with France, possibly with others. I think that's the diplomacy he's engaged in now. So while all of the surface rhetoric, every word of it is about NATO unity, under the surface, I am not so sure.
What is Beijing learning, watching its junior partner dance with NATO?
Well, you know, NATO is the most successful politico-military alliance in history. And if it fails this test, even though Ukraine's not a member, Ukraine's security has a direct impact on the security of NATO members. Then I think the alliance is gravely weakened. And I think that is very much part of Putin's calculation. And if he succeeds, China reads it the same way and says, to itself. How can we break American alliances in the Indo-Pacific area?
So you do not believe that Beijing is reluctant to watch Mr. Putin be aggressive in Ukraine. You think it's a learning experience for it?
I think Beijing is delighted.
John Bolton, writing for The Wall Street Journal about the new entente in world history. This is the Russia-China entente. John, former national security advisor for the Trump administration, ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, the author most recently of The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.